الله اللهم بحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ونحن وغيرك. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So first I'd like to congratulate you all on the birth of Bibi Fatima Sarana. And this is my first time, by the way, in a gathering where there are so many familiar faces who I know, and I'm very grateful to be here. Now, I'd like to recognize Yasmin's presentation. Alhamdulillah, it was great, and I'm really proud of you, by the way. You're the younger generation we are waiting to take over from us. Now, I sort of talk, there's many topics that we can talk about when we recognize our women, whether they have a status as a close to the Prophet ﷺ, or just ordinary women throughout history of Islam who have strived to create and bring difference to our society and community. And you will find many women right now in Canada who are actually struggling to do that. And the question she raised, Yasmin, was how do we have an identity? What identity should we be carrying? Should I be the one who have look more like anyone from the mainstream in my dress or my behavior or my code? Or should I be completely cowed under, trying to not even look at anybody and saying I'm not very pious, I don't do these things? In between, the Quran reminds us, is a balance between two extremes. One is where you give up who we are, and the other one is that you maintain that, but you maintain it in the best form. That's exactly the definition of our middle of the road, what the Quran calls mizan, balance. It always reminds us there is a balance. So on that balance then, I would like to sort of make, because I have only 15 minutes, I'm going to make very quick, brief points on that. And hopefully, the idea is not to lecture you, because I think we are given so many talks and lectures and non-stop. It's just an idea that you may want to go home and think about it. You may want to talk about it as to how this fits into our daily life. There are two things as a social worker and a clinical counselor. I've been in the field for over 25 years. I was the first Muslim counselor who graduated from University of Toronto. So I have been a first in many ways. And so you can see my age is telling. I now need to can't even climb the stairs. So what I learned was that the aspirations of men and women are not divergent. They are all adversarial in nature. But they are one of unity of purpose. And Islam offers that unity of purpose. And the stress I like to put on unity of purpose is this, that if you go through the ayahs related to the family, to male-female relationships, or even in terms of dealing with the international issues, you will find there is always a goal set for all of us. And the humanity, from the time that Allah created us, He gave us a goal that we must serve and serve Allah. And the service is not like a blind service. We have a book. If you carefully read it, it gives you step by step, in the most simplest language that I can think of, how we must conduct ourselves in terms of where we live, whether that is in Canada or whether we live somewhere else. And yes, Yasmin identified that we live in a society where the value system, which is predominantly liberal and flux, is fluctuating all the time. And for Muslims who have a code of ethics, and that is not fluctuating, it never has and never will, and it remains as is. So we're here, we have to find a balance between the two. Now my favorite two ayahs that I really enjoy when I sort of look at and reflect on the state of the Ummah as I see it, because we are accompanying our large numbers there, but not effective in dealing with issues as they arise, say, for instance, social issues. So when we talk about, say, Bibi Fatima, and we identify her character, her behavior, and how she conducted herself, those are all social issues, by the way. They're not just some thought out of the extraordinary. This is a daily way how we live, how we behave, how we should do it. So there's an ayah Allah says, Allah does not change the condition of a folk unless they change what is in themselves. So the first item on the agenda ought to be, as we begin every year to celebrate the birth of a very important woman, and really, if you look at the Quran, Allah doesn't make any distinction between men and women when it comes down to the issue of character, issue of behavior, issue of spirituality, issue of intellect, and issue of intelligence in a sense that to conduct yourself. So really, we may want to emphasize, but it's as a human beings, we both may and female have equal opportunities and equal responsibility. So the second one is this, Allah says, if any do deeds of righteousness, be they male or female, and have faith, they will enter heaven, and not the least injustice will be done to them. So these two are really a primary foundational concepts on which much of the theory that I talk about throughout what I've heard is that in the bottom line is whether you have a male child or female child, or you're male or female, the duties are not different. Because the goal and the purpose is the unity of purpose, that we should live peacefully, we raise our children, we fight injustices where we see, and also we stand up and not sit quietly when people are starving, being killed, or whatever you see what's happening in society right now. So it brings me to the second part. So what is the definition of empowerment? We talk about constantly, Muslim women are so disempowered. We read articles, we also lectures. I was down in Trinidad. It was the International Conference on Women. And the whole paper that somebody presented from the United States was to identify Muslim women, and I was one of them sitting there, as women who don't really have any opinion on world affairs. They don't know what's happening in the environment, or they just basically are very lonely. They stay at home and they have no voice. They don't have a voice in their mosque, they don't have a voice in the community. And so when that paper was presented, you know, first temp as a human being, the emotion is that you get up and you want to say, well, what are you talking about? But you can't do that. So obviously you have to sort of deal with it in a most constructive way. So what I'm pointing out is this, that even though we have an image that is being projected, but it is us who can change that image. No one else, no one can. And no matter how many times that we talk about how we should teach our children, how we should raise them, how we should do this and that, it doesn't work till they have seen people in their own families, people, their fathers, their mothers, their sisters, their relatives, their grandparents, behaving in a certain way, in an ethical way, in a moral way. And that consistency is where children learn. So the first lesson the child learns is in the home. It is from the parents, from the uncles, from aunts, and then when they are a little older, the outside world begins to influence on them. So there are, again, a child has a will, a child has an idea that they're going to behave this way or that way. And how do we deal with this? Similarly, we deal with ourselves. We teach them self-discipline. And that's very simple to teach. If they want big shoes, but the most expensive shoes, we teach them that they're not necessary, that they're unnecessary, you can use also a different shoes. I'm going all over the map because I am a family-oriented person. I can't see anything outside the context of family. I see male, female, children, older people, all in one sense. Say, for instance, even now, we have an issue of our elderly in the society. We don't have any place for them. They're most families who brought their parents from overseas, their children are not grown up, and so there are no facilities for them. They're isolated, there's an abuse, and these are the most heart of the social issues of the heart of Islam. The whole 90% of the time you see good deeds, and good deeds are not you just going to give money. They are social issues because they are painful issues, they hurt human beings, and who else is there to look after their needs than Muslims themselves? So I was in a committee that we are working on having a bill of rights for the seniors. And the question continuously came up as to should we have a home, should we have this and that. And I kept going back and saying, no, we should encourage this community, because there are many communities who are involved in this community, to understand that there are about 10 different 12 ayahs in the Quran which primarily are giving guidance to the children how they should behave their parents. And those are the value systems which we have been given in the Quran quite clearly. And I, as I said, I'm going all over the place. But let me come down to the last part of my talk. It's not really going to So then we come down to the issue of empowerment, because right now we all feel very disempowered, by the way. Wherever I go, people say, nobody listens to us, the media listen to us, the politicians don't listen to us, and nobody's listening. So what exactly is empowerment? And this is, again, it's a Quranic concept that I'm looking at. I'm trying to explain in a sense is that traditionally define it as someone gives an authority to someone and say you have a legal right, you have the brain, you can make decisions, and you should be able to do so. And in other words, is that they recognize that this human being has an intellect, has an ideas, and they are capable of doing it. If we look at the Quranic concept of empowerment, which is self-empowerment, it is not someone else empowering you. Because the Quran says that the time of creation, Allah has already empowered us. He's given us certain faculties. Faculties of hearing, faculty of intellect, faculty of thought, and given us a guidance. So here's an important differentiation between what we read in our normal books and empowerment and what the Quran says the empowerment process is. So that means all of us who are here, even if we went home tonight and have read some newspaper or something, and we realized that whatever is written is not right for me, for you, or for anybody, and we took some action, a simple action. Maybe you call someone in the media, or you call somebody else in the community and said, you know, this needs to be taken care of. That is a self-empowerment, what the Quran insists on when it says nothing will change, you change your own condition. And you know, I don't know how many families that I have seen, they have children who are growing up, they are changing values, there's a conflict between husband and wife, there are also a pressure on us for finding jobs, and the political arena, political environment has changed a great deal. So all of these things then come together, and we are the only one who, by the grace of the Almighty Allah, has a blueprint plan to work on that to make changes. So you don't have to be a genius and have two PhDs and maybe, I don't know, masters or whatever. You could have very little knowledge, and yet you are an important part of the solution for the problems that we face in this society. So all I can say is that the intimidation, oh, I'm shy, I don't want to do this, I'm not. As a woman, as a matter of fact, right now in this society, we have a much more voice than men have. I can say things and I do get away in the mainstream because I can be tough and they don't mind my tone. But we don't have to be tough. I don't really need to raise my voice and impress them. I can be just as humble as I'm supposed to be and at least argue my point. So all 1, 2, 3, 4 empowerment process, Allah says that you cannot change anything till you change yourself, are all intertwined to what we are talking about in personality, which we have been given to as an example as to what was Bibi Fatima basically accomplishing in terms of the examples that Yasmin gave. They were social issues, and she was dealing with them at a level which, as a matter of fact, still applies to this day, that no one has to come and tell us that you should get up and take an action, and we can do that. In other words, is this, that if you look at the gift which Allah has given us, the gift of free will, now we have choices to make, whether we are old, whether we are young, or whether we are just in between, that we can make choices. And that free will means is that I can decide tonight that I don't want to do anything for the community anymore. Why not? I just go home and relax. Everybody else likes to do that. That's my choice. But this is the right choice if I have a few skills that I can share with the community, that can help them. Would that not that be a free will choice, the right choice? So I think in total summary for what I was trying to say, and as I said, in 15 minutes, it's hard for me because I tend to speak too much and say too much, and the thoughts are too many. But I would like to wrap it up by saying that let's take small steps together. With our counterpart, to empower ourselves in order to participate both in this world and the spiritual aspect of our existence. And those little small steps are not difficult to take. So if any lesson we can take away from here, my talk, hope that that was useful, or for the example, for the person that we are here to honor, is Bibi Fatima, then all I can say is this, every little step you take in that direction where you help someone, or you are thinking to help, or you are learning, even self-education is part of that process, you are basically doing what we should be doing, and not as a woman, but as a human being, part of humanity. And thank you very much, Jazakallah Khair.